Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is our membership drive. More about that in a minute. Columbus has received some positive press in recent years. The compliments have ranged from being the fastest-growing metropolitan area in the Midwest to being one of the nation's best big cities. This wasn't always the case for the state capital, once described as a cow town. How Columbus has evolved over time is the focus of the book, Columbus in 50 Maps, written by our guest today, Columbus Underground reporter Brent Warren. Welcome back to All Sides, Brent.
Thanks for having me.
So in the introduction to your book, Columbus in 50 Maps, you write, Columbus is a place perpetually in search of an identity. We were never gifted with a catchy nickname or had a ready-made identity bestowed on us. So I mean, this is a topic we've discussed in the past on All Sides, but you're someone who grew up here. You wrote a book all about Columbus. So what do you think Columbus's identity is?
Well, I don't have a catchy answer to that. I think, you know, we talked last time I was on the show, I think when the book was about to come out, we talked a little bit about this. Like, you know, in some ways, I think we need to give ourselves a little bit of a break on that front. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're maybe a teenage city. We're not. We have to give ourselves a chance to kind of grow into the city that we're becoming. You know, if you look back at history, and I talk about this in the introduction to the book, all of the cities around us, like Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, all of those cities spent time as like one of the top five cities in the country for population. Mm. You know, Columbus was never that. When these cities,
well, we're still growing. We we'll get there someday.
Exactly, yeah. That's the difference. You know, we never were like a super prominent city in the country like 100 years ago, the way Cincinnati or Detroit or Cleveland was. We were actually a pretty small town back in those days. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have the chance to kind of establish this, like, oh, this is what everybody thinks of around the country when they hear Columbus. You know, we were a small town and we just sort of steadily grew through the decades. And all of a sudden, here we are as a big city. So I think we're still working on that. In the book, I do look at some different things. We have a section on Arch City, which was our nickname at one point.
Yeah.
Because there were arches downtown, and we have a map that shows where the current arches are in the Short North, the modern arches,
yeah,
and where the historic arches were, which is mostly downtown and other places. But
so there's old arches that I don't remember. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, they were gone by like, you know, 1918. You know,
there was
a short period of time where we had all these beautiful arches, and they were in like every postcard of Columbus featured these arches, and people loved them. They're kind of a distinctive feature of our city, and we were known as the Arch City for, you know, like 20 years or so. And then
who decided to tear them down?
Well, I don't know. The city, the people's sort of like efficiency, the technocrats who decided they weren't efficient, and we were changing out the way we did streetlights, and the arches didn't work as well. So they put in modern streetlights and they took the arches down. But that's an example of how these things are fluid over time. You know, there was a time when people knew Columbus as Arch City, and that's kind of gone now. Some people are trying to bring that back. You know, you see some businesses name that. You see the arches in the Short North, but that's just, it's always changing.
This is 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. Thanks for joining us today. You can become a member when you make a gift right now. This is listener-supported public radio. Make a gift at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Discover Columbus in a whole new way with the book, Columbus in 50 Maps. It's a collection of 50 beautifully designed maps that explore neighborhoods, history, food, and how the city has grown. It's the kind of book you'll want to come back to again and again. You could get your own copy when you start a sustaining gift of $10 a month right now, or make a one-time contribution of $120. Give now at WOSU.org. Your monthly support helps WOSU Public Media show up every day with trusted news, thoughtful programs, and local stories that matter. It's consistent support with a real impact. Start your sustaining gift right now at WOSU.org. Without ongoing listener support, the local coverage and the trusted programs you count on from WOSU Public Media could be at risk. A monthly gift helps protect what matters most. And you can get a great thank you gift in return. If you have lived in Columbus for years, Columbus and 50 Maps is going to even if you've been here for years, Columbus and 50 Maps will show you something new. How your neighborhoods connect to how the city has changed, stories behind the places you pass by every day. It's a fresh way to see your very own city. Columbus and 50 Maps can be your gift for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 to receive your copy and support public radio. Go to WOSU.org right now. So you are a reporter. You work for Columbus Underground. And but you also grew up here. You're, you know, a Columbus guy through and through. But how has being a reporter changed your view of the city? Has it at all?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, absolutely it has. I mean, I started at Columbus Underground in 2013, so I've been covering pretty closely for all these years development in the city. So, I mean, we have a map in the book called Short North Development, and that map was basically based on the reporting I've done over the years, because I've tracked this stuff so closely, all of the different new developments on High Street in the Short North, and we kind of break it up by era. So you can see, I mean, it's, and I should mention Vicki Johnson Dahl. She was our map maker, and she just did an amazing job. Like, with the Short North map, I kind of threw her a huge amount of information and said, okay, how can we make this into a map? And she really did it. Like, so you can just glance at this map and see, like, oh, from 2010 to 2020, there were a huge number of new mixed-use developments in the Short North. And you can see that, and you can see where they were. You can see what was there before and what they were replaced with. So, you know, going back to your question of how does that change your view, I think when you drill down a little deeper into the stories behind these developments and you kind of follow them from the very beginning, from when they're first proposed to when they're eventually approved and then finally built, and then there's people living in them, it gives you kind of a finer view of, like, what that does to a neighborhood, how that changes the neighborhood over time, and also just kind of the process, which there's so much more to it that people don't realize, I think. You just see the construction cranes and think, oh, there's a new thing coming in. But I mean, the idea for that project probably started like 5 years before then.
Yeah.
And it's been this long journey to get it to that point of the construction cranes.
When we were talking earlier about what is Columbus's identity, I mean, would you say that to some people it's Ohio State, or does Columbus, like, is that a good thing? I don't know. How do you evaluate the Columbus Ohio State identity?
Yeah, no, that's a big one. I think definitely to some people, especially nationally, you know, if you think of Columbus, you probably think of Ohio State and you think about football. We also, not to bring everything back to a map in the book, but we have, you know, a lot of good maps in the book. So
yeah,
we have a map of campus and the area around Ohio Stadium. And I kind of wanted to show with that, like, on the one hand, there are these traditions tied to Ohio State football that are a pretty big part of our culture in Columbus, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to kind of recognize them and say, oh, yeah, how long have we been doing the Script Ohio and, you know, all of these traditions that we have in Columbus that runs very deep here. So that's kind of what we're able to show in that map. But then at the same time, we have all these maps that show how Columbus has expanded and grown and sort of moved beyond just being a college town into something very different than what it was, say, you know, even 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's not like Columbus is no longer a suburb of Ohio State, right?
Right.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the past and present of Columbus with the author of the book, Columbus and 50 Maps, Brent Warren. Brent is also a reporter for Columbus Underground. I want to say thank you to Nancy Manicky in Columbus. Thank you, Nancy. And Nancy writes, the station is a local treasure. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that, Nancy. We also heard from Diana Novak in Powell, and Diana and Nancy both are sustaining members. Thank you so much for those gifts of support. And I also want to thank Alvin Matthews from Columbus. Thank you for your gift today. You can join them and become a member during this membership drive. This hour is all about Columbus as a growing city. We're asking the question, what is Columbus's identity? If you enjoy discovering what makes Columbus unique, Columbus in 50 Maps is a great place to start. Through 50 engaging maps, it brings the city's history, culture, and everyday life into focus. It's easy to explore this book. It's hard to put it down. Make a gift of $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120, and we'll send you a copy of this book and a letter of thanks for supporting WOSU. Give right now at WOSU.org. The programs and local coverage you count on from WOSU Public Media depend on steady listener support. Without it, those services become harder to sustain. A monthly gift helps keep them in place. Start that gift today at WOSU.org. Give $10 a month and get a great book of maps or a one-time gift of $120. And you'll be supporting public radio, too. So this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give when we have these membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information you can trust. All Sides is here for you every day at 10 a.m. talking about Central Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we're able to do that because we are listener-supported. Make a gift right now at WOSU.org. So, books about maps, map books, are having a moment. Mm-hmm. There's a similar book about Cincinnati that launched on the same day that the Columbus book launched. I also found a book about my hometown, Pittsburgh. There's Pittsburgh in 50 Maps. What's the attraction of these map books? What's going on?
Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to say why it's having a moment now because I've always loved maps. You know, I'm a map nerd through and through. But I think a lot of people are catching on to that maybe these days.
Okay, maps are cool.
Yes, yeah. Maps are cool. Yeah. And, you know, the cool thing I think about this book series is that, like, so many of the maps that we see day to day now, I mean, it's almost like everything is a Google map. Everything is just sort of like looks the same. And even Google Maps, which is so amazing, and, you know, it was incredible when that first came around. There's more ads in it now. You know, it sort of like highlights businesses that have paid to be on the map, you know. So
I feel
like we kind of get used to seeing maps only in this one format. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about this book is we were able to go and sort of go in a completely different direction sort of visually and mm-hmm. have a sort of like really visually interesting and beautiful maps that also conveyed information that you do not really see on the internet, to be honest. Like one of the maps we did was pretty simple, it seems, like just of the different school districts in Columbus. And you would think, oh, that would be an easy one to find, but it's actually not that easy to find that information online, like in a visual way that shows easily, so you can easily tell where one school district starts and where one begins. So we did that so you can easily see it, but then also the way the book is formatted, we have a little bit of text with each map.
Yeah.
So we're able to kind of show that big picture of these are the school districts. And then you look at that picture and you see that the Columbus City Schools has these little islands out at the at the sort of edge of the county and that are not connected to the main part of the district. And you're kind of like, how does that happen? So in the book, I'm able to explain hopefully pretty simply and succinctly about the win-win agreement that this whole sort of long history of school district politics in Columbus and, you know, kind of trying to explain why the map looks the way it does. So not only do you have the visual, but you have the text kind of giving some more historical context that really you can't, like if you just Google it, it's actually it's almost overwhelming, the information you get.
So you try to explain why people pay Columbus taxes but don't live in Columbus City Schools, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that happens all the way around the district on all sides, right?
Right.
Okay, so and it's called a win-win from a
the
long
win-win
time.
The win-win agreement, from the 80s, I believe.
It was like an annexation agreement?
Yep.
All right. Well, you can learn more about that in Columbus in 50 Maps. This is 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Columbus past and present with the author of the book, Columbus in 50 Maps. It can be your gift today when you make a gift at 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. Make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 to get Columbus in 50 Maps. What was the hardest map to put together in the whole book?
Oh, that's a good question. There's so many of them ended up taking sort of being harder than you would think at first, you know, like I had this idea very early on to do. I saw online somebody refer to Bethel Road as like their high street in Columbus.
Oh,
and
okay.
I thought that was so interesting because, you know, Bethel Road is a place that has this amazing array of ethnic restaurants and businesses, kind of mostly food-related businesses from all over the world.
All tucked into strip malls, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, like, I mean, it's the kind of place that if you just Google Columbus, like, what are the things to see? You know, Bethel Road is probably not going to come up high on the list.
I see.
Even if you actually physically drive down Bethel Road, the way those strip malls are set up, they're so far away from the road. It's actually hard to realize, like, what is in those
You can't
malls.
See what's tucked in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had an idea. It's called, the map is called Strip Mall Treasures. And I kind of worked with Vicky, our map maker, to figure out how do we kind of bring that visually to the fore to sort of explain what Bethel Road is to somebody who might not know. So what we ended up doing was we have, like, an aerial view of the corridor, so you can see the development pattern, which is very suburban, and you have these enormous strip malls with huge parking lots. You know, my background is in urban planning, and urban planners hate strip malls. You know, it's not pedestrian friendly. It's kind of a waste of all this space in front of the businesses. But in a lot of places, including in Columbus, that's where there's a lot of immigrant-owned businesses. And so for this map, we were able to show, we put little flags that kind of indicated the origin of the different restaurants and the food-related businesses. So you could kind of see at a glance, oh, this is what Bethel Road is really all about, you know.
Yeah, Columbus definitely has a very international food scene, but you have to find it, apparently,
on
Bethel Road.
Yes, yeah.
For that urban planner perspective, who decided to put the parking lot in front of the strip mall? Why not put it behind it?
Yeah, developers, so you can blame them.
Okay.
They like, you know, people like to, developers like to sort of advertise that there's plenty of parking, free parking. So, and it's right there, you can see it, so.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
All right. So you're a reporter for Columbus Underground. You learn a lot about the city every day. That's your job, is to write about the city. Did you learn anything surprising while writing this book, like something you didn't know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of, like, sort of the early part of the book, we do more historic maps. And that was the section that I probably learned the most about, because in order to pinpoint things on a map, like, I wanted to show where were the Native American settlements that in what we now call Columbus before there were white settlers here.
Mm.
And that's not the easiest information to track down, surprisingly.
It's probably not in a simple history book, do you think?
No. Yeah. And, you know, as we know, a lot of our history kind of starts, the history of Columbus starts when the white settlers arrived, but there were people here before. So I really dove into that history in order to produce a couple maps. So we have one that shows the earthworks and mounds that were all throughout Franklin County, most of which have been destroyed. But, you know, like, Mound Street was called Mound Street downtown because there was a huge, like, 40-foot-tall mound in the center of what we now call downtown Columbus. And just things like that. There's a lot of things that I learned delving into that history. And it was really my pitch for sort of, like, going beyond what you can find in a Google search. Again, I had to, like, check books out of the library to find some of this information, which is really just dove me further into kind of learning more and more. And I hope we were able to take some of that and get it get it across in the book as sort of like interesting things that maybe you didn't know about the city.
I want to say thank you to Lauren Staken from Hilliard, and also thanks to Eric Gibson from Columbus. Thanks for your gifts of support today. And thank you all for joining us for our membership drive. This hour is all about Columbus as a growing city, and we're asking the question, what is Columbus's identity? If you enjoy discovering what makes Columbus unique, Columbus in 50 Maps is a great place to start. Through 50 engaging maps, it brings the city's history, culture, and everyday life into focus. This book is easy to explore and hard to put down. Make a monthly gift of $10 a month or make a gift of $120, and we'll send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for supporting WOSU. You could get the book at WOSU.org right now. Give $10 a month to get this great book of maps or a one-time gift of $120. We are counting on you to support public radio right now. We are listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give what you can during these membership drives. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. One of the maps in your book that I found interesting addresses the placement of the city's trees. Looking at the map definitely made me think, like, oh, we don't have enough trees, not in certain places. And we recently did a show, actually, about the city's tree canopy, so this relates really well. But this map really shows it. Can you describe the tree map for a little bit? Like, is it a tree map or is it a paved services map?
Yeah, no, there's both. So it's, yeah. The interesting thing is if you and the city and MORPC, I think, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, they track some of this data, and it's fascinating when you see it on a countywide or a citywide scale, that if you have paved surfaces, if you map those, and then you also map the tree cover, it's almost like they're inverses of one another, you know, where you have a lot of paved surfaces, you have no trees. And you can see, just looking at that map, you can see things like the ravines in certain neighborhoods, you can see our metro parks, obviously, and you can see these big areas just almost devoid of trees completely. Mm-hmm. And then also we feature in the book, there was an effort to go and sort of map the actual temperature on different points in Columbus on a single day in August, like a few years ago.
Okay.
And we're able to map that in the book. And that correlates pretty closely to those other maps, you know, where you have trees, it's a lot cooler. And these neighborhoods without very many trees, those are the hottest places. And really, it's only going to get worse as our climate changes, you know.
And whenever you were making a map like that, a map about trees, a map about paved surfaces, was that something that you originally had? Like when you made your list of like what maps you were going to be doing, was that on the list, or did some of these things just like come up as you were making one map and it became?
Yeah. Some of them absolutely just came up because I kind of discovered that the data existed already. MORPC or the city had done the work to sort of map some of this stuff.
But nobody's seen it unless they follow MORPC. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or you could go to their website and play around with it. But we were able to take that data and we didn't have to do as much to make it into a map as some of them, you know, because the data already existed. So when I found out about that temperature map, I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then Vicky made the actual visual of it, and I'm like, well, that's really incredible. It really tells us a lot about Columbus. Mm-hmm.
You can see it for yourself if you get this book as your thank you gift today. You'll also be supporting public media. You're listening to All Sides on listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. It's our membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You're only going to find this news and information on public radio. Support this station right now at WOSU.org or give us a call. 866-897-9678. This hour, we're talking about a map book that you will love to have this book in your book collection. It's not a book you necessarily read cover to cover. It's one you open again and again and again and get sucked into looking at all these maps. Columbus in 50 Maps invites you to explore Columbus through 50 visual stories, from food spots to growth patterns to hidden gems. It's a thoughtful, local, and made-to-browse kind of book. Make a gift of $10 a month right now, or make a one-time gift of $120 to receive your copy of the book and support public media. Give at WOSU.org. When you start a monthly gift to WOSU Public Media, you're helping ensure this service is here tomorrow. Strong, independent, ready to serve the community. Start your sustainer gift now at WOSU.org. A monthly gift to WOSU Public Media is an investment in what comes next. ensuring that this service continues to inform, connect, and serve our community in the months and years ahead. So start your sustaining gift today at WOSU.org. Brent, did you, for Columbus has become more and more diverse, but like many cities, there are some segregated areas. Did you break down the city in terms of like race and ethnicity or immigrant populations? You have a map or two about that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have we have census maps that show sort of the racial distribution in the city. And we talk a little bit about how that has changed in some ways and in some ways it hasn't changed. Definitely, we have more maps that show where the main immigrant populations are in the city. We have one that shows there's this really interesting sort of stat that the Census Bureau tracks, which is called the Diversity Index. So we have a map that shows that it's like which by census tract, like which parts of Columbus are the most diverse and which are the least diverse, and it shows it for kind of the whole county. So there's lots of different ways to break that down. We also have maps. I mean, not all the maps are, they don't all feel like homework. Some of them are a little more fun. So we have a map of all the taco trucks in Columbus, which is another way to show kind of how immigrant populations and are the immigrant groups that are driving a lot of the growth, actually the majority of the growth now is being driven by immigrants. How has that impacted our city in different ways? You know, how is it that we have, you know, in 1990, I think we talk about in the book, there were about 7,000 people of Latino or Hispanic descent in Columbus. And then you fast forward 30 years and it's like 70,000.
Wow.
So that's going to change a city in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways, as you can see in the book, there's a lot of taco trucks in Columbus, whereas there didn't used to be. So, lots of ways to kind of get at that issue and that and sort of illuminate what's happening in the city.
The taco trucks is a fun way to show the change. Do you know how this compares to other other Ohio major cities like Cleveland and Cincinnati? Do they have that significant immigrant growth right like that?
We have a larger immigrant population than either Cincinnati or Cleveland. And I think we're getting just the fact that we're growing more than those cities, and we're definitely attracting more international immigrants. But you know, they're changing too. Every place in Ohio is changing, as we saw with like Springfield, and a lot of the immigrant populations have come to places where you maybe didn't expect it.
Can you talk to me about, you have a map that talks about redlining, which is which used government regulation to keep minorities from purchasing homes in white neighborhoods. And how did you figure out that that shaped Columbus? Because, I mean, that partially influenced the shape of Columbus, too.
Yeah. And that's one of those maps, like, as you mentioned, this is a series. There's these 50 maps books about a handful of different cities. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably a redlining map in every one of those books. So I kind of knew that we were going to do that, but I wasn't sure what the best way to show that would be. And actually, I think somebody I reached out to at Ohio State suggested that overlaying a map of the highways on the redlining map would be an interesting way to show how redlining shaped where the highways went in Columbus. And if you look at that map, you can see it shaped it in some pretty obvious ways, you know.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that for people who can't see it. So basically, where the highway goes through, there's like one population on one side is one color and the other population,
Or even like if you look at I-70 and how it kind of, it goes right through the southern end of downtown, but then it kind of dips. There's that dip in 70.
Yeah. So 70 could have just gone straight.
Yeah.
But it's obvious they put a dip in there.
Right.
And so you're like, well, that's obvious. They did that for a reason.
You know, it goes under Bexley and it took out some predominantly African-American neighborhoods in the process. So.
Well, and then I just flipped to the very next page because after the redlining page, then you go, into a lighter mood with streetcar lines and amusement parks. So so what's this about? We used to have a streetcar? I don't know.
We definitely used to have streetcars.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. And it's through a couple of the maps in the book, you can see the streetcar network kind of like drove development in a lot of ways. So a lot of what we think of as our historic neighborhoods with the, you know, traditional street grids and the older homes, those were built along the streetcar lines. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I always thought this was an interesting part of Columbus history is you had these amusement parks that mm-hmm. developers would put at the end of the streetcar lines because the neighborhoods hadn't really grown out that far yet. You mm-hmm. know, they built the lines first and they had a hard time getting the ridership up on those lines.
They couldn't get them to ride it to the end?
Yeah, yeah. And especially okay. on the weekends when people aren't going to work, not as many people were riding the lines. So they're like, mm-hmm. oh, let's put an attraction at the very end.
Okay.
So these amusement parks are really cool. They had these enormous pools. They had, I think the Olentangy Park one had a upside down wooden roller coaster yeah. kind of thing, which is pretty amazing to see pictures of that. But another really interesting fact from Columbus history that people might know about, but then to see it on a map, you can see, oh, this is where they were. This is where the street lines were. You can see it all in one place.
Yeah. So we used to have three amusement parks, and Olentangy Park that you mentioned is basically like right in Clintonville, mm-hmm. right? That was the end of the line. Then there's Indianola Park, which is kind of beside Clintonville, right?
Or... Yeah, it's sort of a North Forest Street. There's a mm-hmm. there's a shopping center there now.
And then this one that's called Northwood Amusement Park, where is that?
Yeah, I had never even heard of that. Yeah. That was like kind of close to Bexley, and it just sort of sprung up. It was also on a streetcar line. Mm-hmm. It, I believe, lasted until they put the highway through, and that was the end for it. Mm-hmm.
This is listener supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides. It's our membership drive, and for this hour, we have a great thank you gift we're talking about for anyone who loves Columbus and wants to learn more about our city. Your support keeps WOSU here with trusted local stories, and our thank you gift today is a way to stay connected to the place we serve. It's called Columbus in 50 Maps, and it captures Columbus through 50 maps highlighting its people, places, and growth. Start your sustaining gift today at $10 a month or give $120 as a one-time gift. We'll send you a copy as a way of saying thank you for your support today. Support this service you rely on at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to Donna Diaz from Columbus, and we also heard from Jesse Barron in Columbus. Thank you for your gifts of support. If WOSU Public Media is a part of your daily routine, keeping you informed and connected, this is a great time to give back. A monthly gift is a simple way to show that you support and value this station. So start your sustainer gift at WOSU.org. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know that this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You get all your Ohio politics news in our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. You hear straight from newsmakers from all sides of the aisle. And if having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support the station. Give at WOSU.org right now. And discover Columbus in a whole new way with Columbus and 50 Maps. It's the kind of book you'll come back to again and again. You could get your own copy when you start a sustaining gift of $10 a month or make a one-time contribution of $120. Give at WOSU.org. So, The city is compromised of many neighborhoods. Did you focus in? I mean, I'm sure. Okay, 50 maps. Every neighborhood wants its own map, right? Mm-hmm. But so you can't give every. You had a limit of 50. What? Tell me about a neighborhood you decided to make a map for.
Let's see. Well, we had a map that showed kind of the city's definitions of the neighborhoods, which some people would probably see that map and not necessarily agree. You know, like neighborhood boundaries are famously something that people argue over and
yeah.
sort of where they consider.
Well, I'm thinking of like, German Village versus I can't think of the names right now.
Or the Brewery District.
The Brewery District start. What's German Village? Or like how Clintonville and Beachwald are mm-hmm. sometimes called different neighborhoods and they're sometimes meshed
right,
into one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the map we have kind of has the city's official definitions of the neighborhoods, which...
Oh,
like
Schumacher Place was what I was trying to say. Like German Village and where is Schumacher Place?
Right,
yeah, I couldn't think of the name.
But what I thought was interesting as we kind of went through the different maps and deciding what to include and what not to, there's so many different ways to kind of divide up the city that maybe aren't necessarily by kind of traditional neighborhood names. So mm-hmm. I had this idea because Amita Robinson is such a sort of like cultural touchstone for the mm-hmm. city, such an amazing artist, and also an artist who kind of almost created maps in a lot of her her artwork. You know, it was very place-based art. So my idea was to do kind of a Mina Robinson's Columbus. So we looked, and again, that involved sort of looking at a lot of her artwork and reading about her life and where she lived and what kind of inspired her, and kind of trying to decide, oh, what would we put on a map that is titled that, Amita Robinson's Columbus? So that was a really interesting map. That was one that I learned a lot while I was doing it. And then recently I had a chance to go inside her house. I don't know if you've been there, which is in the Shepherd neighborhood.
Yeah, I haven't been there,
It's owned by the Columbus Museum of Art now, and it's open for like artist residents and stuff. And every once in a while they have, the public is allowed to go and take a tour. And it just blew me away being inside that space, especially having gone through this process of learning so much about her and her story in Columbus and trying to figure out how to represent that in the book. It was just amazing to be in that space, which is luckily still there in Columbus and something that people can go to.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the past and present of Columbus with the author of the book Columbus and 50 Maps, Brent Warren. Brent is also a reporter for Columbus Underground. I mentioned that it's Columbus and 50 Maps, but I have to imagine that some maps ended up on the cutting room floor, right? Is there a map that you wish made it into the book that ended up getting cut?
Well, there were so many ideas that we had. That
just are you going to do Columbus in 50 more maps?
Yeah. Well, I've thought about it. But yeah, there were so many ideas we had that some of them just didn't kind of work out visually. You know, some of them it would have been sort of too hard to kind of research and get all of the information and the locations down in order to do it. We just had a limited amount of time. We had one map. The last map that we cut was actually completely made, and it was ready to go. But then as they were laying out the map, they decided that it really just didn't fit, you know. And that was a map that kind of showed based on data that Morpsey tracks about the level of traffic stress on all of our roads.
And it's traffic stress.
Yeah.
Does
from
that
the
mean
perspective
traffic?
Of somebody who is trying to bike on our roads specifically. So, and that was, you know, it has sort of like, it divides our roads up into like, is this a road that people of all ages and all cycling abilities would feel safe on or not? Or what's the level? You know, it's like some of them are sort of expert cyclist only.
I see.
And if you see that visually, and actually we did a story on Columbus Underground, you can look it up, where we published this map that didn't make it into the book.
I did all this work.
Right,
let's tell people about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can see how it kind of shows how much work we still have to do to create sort of safe streets for different types of users.
Do you remember what street was the least safe for bikers?
Almost all of them were very unsafe.
Oh,
that's what
I see.
Yes.
Okay, almost all of them. Yeah. Got it. All right. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and you're listening during our membership drive. I want to say thank you to Elaine Gill from Columbus. Also, thank you to Lauren Sanders from Columbus, and we heard from Bruce Baer from Dublin. Thank you for your gifts of support today. Even if you've lived in Columbus for many years, Columbus and 50 Maps will teach you something new. It will show you something new. How neighborhoods are connected, where the city has changed, the stories behind the places you pass by every day. It's a fresh way to see our city. This book can be a great gift for yourself or a gift for someone who just loves Columbus and loves maps. Make a sustaining gift right now of $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 to receive your copy at WOSU.org. And by getting that gift today, you'll be supporting All Sides. You know that All Sides brings you a diverse range of topics, but you also know that those topics are going to be related to things that impact and are important to Central Ohio. If having shows like this are important to you, then show your support today. In-depth shows about local issues are not possible without listener support. If you appreciate this kind of journalism, make a gift right now at WOSU.org. And you're running out of time to make your gift this hour. We have only about 16 minutes left in the hour. We'd love to hear from 10 more people before the hour ends. Make this hour a great success. Give right now before the hour is over to show your support, and you can get a great thank you gift. Go to WOSU.org right now. we talked about, I mentioned German Village earlier. German Village played a very key role in historic preservation of Columbus. Do you have any maps that kind of like map historic buildings or historic places? Like, how did you talk about history and preservation in a map?
Yeah, a few different ways. We have one map that shows the different historic districts. You know, German Village was the first one, which is like way back in 1960, and actually one of the first in the country in terms of establishing that kind of like protected neighborhood.
Like the whole neighborhood is historic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that kind of set a template for the other, you know, Victorian Village and Italian Village.
Yeah.
So we have that map. We have other, we have one of the skyscrapers of downtown that sort of groups them by decade that they were built, which you can, is another way of looking at kind of the growth and the development and how the Leveque Tower pretty much had the Columbus skyline to itself for like, you know, 50 years.
Then
all of a sudden in the 70s and 80s, that's when there was this boom of skyscrapers. So there's, you know, like all of these, there's lots of different ways of looking at it. And I wanted to mention, because I know I've been on this show a few times and I always get such a great response from people, you know, like people, so many people listen and they're excited to hear me.
People who like Columbus Underground listen to public radio?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes,
well,
yes.
How about that?
And, you know, it's such a like kind of engaged and knowledgeable audience. But and the last time I was on, I think the book was about to come out. And now it's been out for a few months and I've started to get some feedback from it. And one of the things that actually several people have said to me is that, like, I've lived in Columbus for, you know, X amount of years, like 30 years, 50 years.
Yeah.
And I learned things that I didn't know looking through the book. And that's like the best compliment I could get. You know, that's sort of like what I was hoping that would happen. And the response so far has really been people have been like, even people who kind of see themselves as Columbus experts and they know all about the history and they know all these facts and figures. Hopefully with the book, we sort of shined a light on some new things that they didn't know about.
Well, public radio is known for being everyone who listens is a lifelong learner. That's what we always like
exactly.
to say.
Yeah.
And so that's a part of the reason we picked this book for our membership drive is because you will learn something new every time you open. Just whatever random page you pick, you will learn something new. Here, I just randomly opened it up to page 77, and it's a map of all of the colleges and universities in the area by enrollment. Well, and so first of all, I have to say, I didn't know we had that many, right?
Yeah.
But and then just looking at the different circles by enrollment, like obviously you would think, you know, Ohio State is the biggest, but then just looking at all of like, you have it mapped by public, private, or a private not-for-profit. Tell me more about this city is just chock full of places to learn, right?
Yeah. We wanted to kind of show, like getting back to what we were talking about earlier with kind of how Ohio State has dominated for so many years. And you can see on that map, which, you know, some of these maps, it's almost more like an infographic because it gives kind of this information besides just where things are located.
Yeah.
It shows you the size of the different schools. So you can see, obviously, Ohio State has a huge number of students enrolled, but so does like Columbus State. Franklin University is, you know, surprisingly
big. Yeah, I didn't know Franklin
big.
University
yes.
was that big.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. yeah. So you kind of see some a little more in depth about like sort of that one topic of, you know, college education in the city. We also have one that shows educational attainment by census tract. So you can see where the college educated population lives in the city. And that's one of the more stark maps I've ever seen of a census tract map. Mm-hmm. It shows like a real divide, like it's centrally and the north side of the city is sort of the educated, more educated population. And then it's a very stark divide with kind of the rest of the region, which you can see
yes,
on that map.
It's the map is called Adults with College Degrees. Yes. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We have about 11 minutes remaining in the hour. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people to make this hour a great success. Give right now. And if you enjoy discovering what makes Columbus unique, Columbus in 50 Maps is a great place to start. Through 50 engaging maps, it brings the city's history, culture, culture and everyday life into focus. It's easy to explore this book. It's hard to put it down. Start a monthly gift right now of $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 and we'll send you a copy of this book with our thanks for supporting WOSU. Give now at WOSU.org. And perhaps you listen to All Sides often. And if you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics. From news of the day to long-term trends, you're going to hear about it all on this show. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of the issue, all sides of every issue that matters to you. And this is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, give right now at WOSU.org. We ask you to give in any amount. Give what fits into your budget. Make an additional gift right now if having a show like this is important to you and you want to show your support right now in this hour. But if $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 works for you, then you can get our thank you gift, Columbus in 50 Maps. This makes a great gift for yourself or someone else in your life who loves this city just as much as you do. With 50 maps that bring Columbus to life, this book is both interesting and useful. And you can get it right now for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org. I had flipped to the front of the book, and you have two quotes that you open the book with, one from James Thurber and one from Hanif Abdurraqib. How did you decide on who you wanted to quote at the beginning of the book? Did you pick those?
I did pick those, yeah. Mm-hmm. The James Thurber quote is...
Here, I'll read it real
quick.
Columbus is a town in which almost anything is likely to happen and in which almost everything has.
Yeah. I thought that was nice. And it's also... kind of looking back, we have a map in the book called Literary Columbus, which it has sort of the locations of all the bookstores in the region and all the libraries in the region. And then it has some specific places that we got to kind of highlight. Like one of the things that I thought was so fun with the book is I got to kind of choose things to focus on that maybe people don't know about, you know, like Columbus has this amazing poetry scene, you know, Hanif Abdurraqib came out of that scene. So we have this map that has, that shows some of the places like Cafe Kerouac, which was sort of a center for that scene, or the Streetlight Guild, which is another center for that literary scene. So we get to highlight things that are happening in Columbus that are really unique and special that maybe don't get the recognition that I think they should. So
Hanif's quote at the beginning of your book is, "Cities transform without you knowing," right underneath your nose.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, wow, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, because he's also a lifelong Columbus guy, right?
Yep.
And so much like you, you're like, the city has transformed in the past 30 years. It truly has. You don't even need a map to show you that. You can just drive around. But anyone who like went to college here and then comes back and they're like, oh my gosh, everything is so different. So the city's transformed like without you knowing, right underneath your nose. So do you think people who live here maybe don't even notice how much it's changing?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there's people who they have their things that they do, their neighborhoods that they go to, and they maybe see some of the changes happening, but they're not aware of things happening like on the other side of the region where they never go. So if they drive north through Delaware County and they see, oh, there's all this development that I haven't been up here in years, but all of a sudden I see it's just completely different. And then there's also ways that cities change that are not kind of visible to the naked eye. You know, it's not something that you see just driving around or walking around. So there's so many ways, and that's kind of like what I wanted to get at with those two quotes is because those two writers are separated by so many years.
Yeah, but they have one thing in common.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Columbus,
yes.
Exactly.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Discover Columbus in a whole new way with the book Columbus in 50 Maps. You're running out of time to make your gift. We have only 6 minutes left in the hour, and we need to hear from you to make this hour a great success. So don't wait. Give now before the hour ends. This book is a collection of beautifully designed maps that explore neighborhoods, history, food, and how the city has grown. It's the kind of book you'll come back to again and again, and you can get your own copy when you start a sustaining gift of $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 right now. If you've been a member of 89.7 NPR News for a while, at maybe $5 a month or $7 a month, this is a great time to up your gift to $10 a month. You can get this book as your thank you gift, and you can have that increase in your sustaining membership will show that you support the news you've been listening to more recently. Or you can make a one-time additional gift right now if you're already a sustaining member. I could say thank you so much for that support. You could make a one-time additional gift just to show that the news and information that you gain from this station, especially in recent weeks, matters to you. Make a gift right now at 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. Well, every Wednesday we hear sirens, you know, the tornado sirens that go off every Wednesday. And you have a map in here of where they're located.
Yeah.
I had no idea there were that many.
Yeah, that's why you hear them.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
You call it the Wednesday woo.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of that nickname for it.
Yeah, if you're on Columbus Reddit, that's something I think that came from there mostly.
Okay. So there's 198 of these.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it's actually something that people who are not from Columbus, sometimes they come and they're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, what is that thing? It's a beautiful day out. Why are these sirens
every
wearing?
Wednesday at noon?
Yeah.
Yes. Except for like one time of year when they are it's at 9:50 in the morning,
right,
instead of noon.
Right.
Yeah. I can remember one day my daughter called me and she was like, why are the sirens going off? It's sunny out and it's not noon.
Right.
And so she even knew that something was amiss.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I think it's National Severe Weather Awareness Week.
Yes. And the other thing I didn't know is that they don't do the sirens on a Wednesday at noon if there's like bad weather in the area, just to sort of avoid the confusion.
Avoid confusion. Yeah, don't scare people. Yeah. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left in the hour. There is still time for you to make a gift. Make this membership drive a great success. Make this hour a success. This hour has been about Columbus as a growing city. We're asking the question, what is Columbus's identity? And if you enjoy discovering what makes Columbus unique, Columbus in 50 Maps is a great place to start. Through 50 engaging maps, it brings the city's history, culture, and everyday life into focus. This book is hard to put down, and it's so easy to explore. Make that gift of $10 a month, and we'll send you a copy right now as a way of thanking you for supporting WOSU. Give now before the end of the hour. Thanks to Britt Belcher from Blacklick, and Britt appreciates the work that we do to serve our community. Well, thank you so much for that gift of support. And if you care about this community, you can support WOSU Public Media, and you can also get this great book, Columbus in 50 Maps, and you can learn more about the community that you live in. So in return for bringing you all this news and information that you can trust, All Sides is here for you every day. We bring you in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we're able to do that because we are listener-supported. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Holly from Delaware as well. Thank you, Holly, for your support. Just before we end, did I ask you what your favorite map is? Or I can't remember if I... Yeah, what do you have a favorite?
Lots of favorites I see you had pulled up there. One of my favorites definitely was the Sears houses.
Yeah, so there's a map of Sears and Lustran homes.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Those are, you know, the Sears houses were basically like kit homes that you ordered from a catalog, and they mailed every single part that you needed to build your house, they mailed it to your neighborhood, and you either built it yourself or you hired a contract to build it. And Ohio, what I found out was that Ohioans bought more of these catalog houses than any other state.
Really?
And there's a lot in Columbus. And there are people, talk about map nerds, there are people who go through and painstakingly look at Google Maps and figure out where the different Sears houses are and mark them down. There's like a whole hobby that people have. So
is this a map of ones that are still up?
They're still
and
standing.
Functioning?
Yeah.
Oh.
And a lot of these, they just look like regular houses. They don't look like prefab or anything.
You wouldn't know
amazing.
They were a kit in the mail.
Yeah, right.
My experience with them is just limited to the Ohio History Connection. And
the Lustran houses. And those are more distinctive looking. Those are like made of aluminum or something.
Yeah.
Right.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thank you to Galen Harris from Columbus. Thank you for your support this hour. We still have time for you. We have about 2 minutes remaining. Give $10 a month and get this great book of maps or a one-time gift of $120. We're counting on you to support public radio. We are listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give during these membership drives. And in return, we bring you news and information that you can trust. We bring you shows like All Sides. We're here every morning at 10, talking about Central Ohio. If you appreciate a station and a show that is truly local, then we're asking you to support these in-depth conversations now. These conversations we bring you every day. Make a gift right now to support the news and information you listen to, the news and information you depend on. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have been talking with Columbus Underground reporter, who is also the author of the book Columbus in 50 Maps, Brent Warren. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great.
And there is still time for you. 1 minute left. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. We're online at WOSU.org. Make this hour a great success by making your gift right now. When you start a monthly gift to WOSU Public Media, you're helping to ensure that this service is here tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Strong, independent, and ready to serve our community. Start your sustaining gift in any amount right now. Thanks to Francis Evans from Columbus. Thanks for your gift of support. Join Francis. Join Holly and make a monthly gift and an investment in what comes next for WOSU Public Media. You can start your gift at WOSU.org or you can give us a call 866-897-9678. Thanks for listening today. I'm Amy Jurevich. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for your support.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.